When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Get down! Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. It's so awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our dear friend Jarrett Payton, and he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline. Your all-weather tire, Aturo, aturo.com. Good morning, Jarrett. How are you?
Mully and Haw, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Yeah, we're getting ready for the holiday. David's got us all pumped up about eating stuffing. I mean, it's just the usual stuff at get to this time of year. I'm curious, what's your, like, happy memories of Thanksgiving? What do you think football when you think Thanksgiving?
Yes, I do think about football. That's really that's the only thing. That was the only time, you guys. This is going to shock you a little bit about my father growing up. In my household, like, you know, I was a soccer player most of my life until high school. So there wasn't like I didn't watch football all the time and sit down and watch football with my father. So he didn't watch it either. He was so busy all the time that the only time I really thought I had an opportunity to be able to watch him watch football was on Thanksgiving. That was the only time that he sat down and really watched football. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
But that's what it's all about, family. It's about family and football and food.
Yeah. I mean, and David, you're right. Stuffing is, that's the only, my mom made her stuffing for my family here, my in-laws, and my mom's in Arizona. So she made her stuffing, and it's the only time that we eat stuffing is on Thanksgiving.
That's fine. And that's why you appreciate and enjoy it so much. So I hope that you can enjoy it on Thursday, Jarrett, but I think it's going to be a long day for the Bears. What's left to look for in terms of this season watching Bears games? Is it all about the quarterback and his development, or what else are you looking for? Because I think that, unfortunately, they're staring at a 6-game losing streak.
David, I think it's all about the development of the quarterback. That's what I'm looking forward to. But I came into the season thinking that, though. I mean, I was, while everybody else was thinking about playoffs and, you know, how good this team was with the additions that Ryan Poles made, I was really locked in and focused with blinders on about Caleb Williams and his development at quarterback. And you guys know this, I was skeptical and I was very scared of coming into the season because of Shane Waldron. I didn't know who he was. The people that I talked to didn't have all the greatest things to say about his coaching ability. So that's what was worrying me, because I'm like, how is this going to go? Do we get another quarterback and then he doesn't have the right teacher to teach him the things that he needs to learn as a rookie? And that scared me. And so now that Shane's gone, Thomas Brown's at the helm now, 2 games in, and we've seen the uptick in his production. And I think last Sunday was a big test, because coming into the game, David, it was all about this defense, vaunted defense, and Flores and what he does to rookie quarterbacks and disguising stuff. And to see this young man go out there and throw for over 300 yards, no turnovers, 2 touchdowns. To me, it shows that there's a balance there between him and an understanding between him and Thomas Brown. And so that's what I'm looking forward to all the way through. And yeah, I think Thursday is going to be a tough one. We're looking at a Lions team that is, man, if not the best team in football, man, they're close to being the best team in football. And a team that can run the football on you at will, whenever you want to, with two different running backs, with two different running styles. And we've seen over this stretch here of five-game losing skid is that this Bears defense is having a lot of trouble stopping the run.
We were talking about it this morning that they've got two running backs with 10-plus touchdowns, and that is the first time it's happened after 11 games since Paul Hornig and Jim Taylor in 1960. What? That's insane.
Molly, you know me, the score is resident running back, man. I love watching both of those guys run because their styles are so unique. Jahmyr Gibbs he can run inside, outside. He can catch out of the backfield. And God bless David Montgomery, man. I mean,
yeah.
For any Bears fans that came up to me on the street and were like, man, Khalil Herbert's way better than David Montgomery. Where are you at now? That's all I want to know. That's what I want to know.
Dude.
I love that dude so much. So both those guys, and that's what you need, Molly, to be able to win a championship. At this point in the year, when you get down to this time, you have to be able to forcibly and violently run the football down people's throats, and that's what the Lions can do.
So, Jared, take Caleb Williams out of the equation for a moment because I think that's the obvious answer to the question I'm going to ask. But if Kevin Warren were to pull you aside at the end of the season or whenever this is over or all but over and say to you, what about this organization is worth salvaging moving forward? How would you answer that?
Ooh. Well, I would stop him and say, listen, Kevin, I think the one thing is you have to move on probably from your head coach. It just doesn't seem like it's working. And I think it's coming from where we're at right now. And I don't think that Matt Eberflus can salvage his job moving forward. I think it's too hard. I think it's last year was coming down at the end of the season where your defense was strong. The defense now is having issues as well. And so now that's his calling card. Listen, I'm not calling for anybody's job. I just think it's a foregone conclusion, but who knows? We know that's what's different with this organization. Sometimes they make decisions that we maybe sometimes have questions about, but that's their decision. And sometimes we have to live with it as Bears fans, but I don't know. There's still so much more to add here, David, when you think about it. On the defensive side, the defensive line, the offensive line, like there's so much that needs to be added to what they already have to be even close to being in that conversation with the Lions and the other teams in the division, man. So, to me, a lot more additions here than – I don't know what you salvage. You have guys that are on this roster and good players on this roster, but you need to add around them to be successful. And you need probably the right person to be able to steer this team in the right direction. And that's going to have a nice hold and also an understanding of what's going on. I talked to a friend yesterday who was just telling me about the command out west with the Chargers that Jim Harbaugh had the moment that he walked into the building and the relationship building that he had and the command of the organization right off the bat. And it just made me just think about like where we're at right now and the questions that are surrounding us when it comes to that position and who's holding that position. So there's just, to me, a lot there. I don't know what to salvage, but I just know you got to add on a lot to what you have on this roster right now.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I think that they also have to start building this football team from the ball out, right? And it's the line of scrimmage, and it's both sides of the line of scrimmage. And I would devote a lot of resources and free agency and certainly the draft to trying to fix that, but. You know, the reality of using draft picks to fix that is that you need to have started about 3 years ago.
Yes. We're kind of behind the eight ball when it comes to where it is. And if you want to, you look at the teams that are successful, you guys, and it comes down to their interior play on the lines on both sides of the ball. And I feel like I'm on repeat sometimes when I'm on these airwaves, but it's real simple. The two things that I know you have to do, you have to be able to dominate that part line of scrimmage, both on the offense and defense. And you got to be able to run the football. You have to, I know everybody wants to air it out and just be looking at this past weekend. I mean, look, I mean, almost 50 times Caleb threw the ball. You can't rely on that. The running game was neglected, and you have to have that, some type of perfect balance. And I know certain games are going to call for different things, but the balance that we saw with Thomas Brown the week before to this week has changed. And I know that has to do with who you're playing, but they have to find a way to be able to be balanced on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they have to get better, but they can only work with what they have right now. And so it's hard. You can't address everything in one season, but you're hoping that the people are making the decisions, like a guy like Ryan Poles, that you're making those decisions to get to this point. And now I feel like we are behind the eight ball as we head down the stretch of the season.
Jared, hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for all you do for our station and this show. And who knows, maybe you'll be watching a game that's closer than expected Thursday.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well, everybody that's listening. And I hope it is. I hope they can prove me wrong, that thinking that they can come out and win. This is the type of game where they win on Turkey Day. Everybody's at home, and then the internet goes in flames.
Awesome. Great stuff, Jared. Thanks, buddy.
See you guys.
That is Jared Payton. That's fun. That would be great. I mean, but David, the reality is that's not the way to bet it.
Why?
Because it's a 10.5-point spread.
And you think
this is the most violent team in the league.
Yeah.
And because the Bears have not even been on the road.
How did they get that way? Offense. How did the Lions get this way?
Well, Penei Sewell helps. They started with a cornerstone guy.
Okay.
They've addressed their offensive line. Without Hutchinson, they did make a trade. They did help themselves a little bit.
But I'm asking sort of a leading question but Penei Sewell is a good answer because he fits into this whole identity, which is what I'm talking about. They have an identity.
They have an identity.
And that's intentional. Mm-hmm. And so they have an identity because of the coach that they hired.
Yes.
Intentionally. And Dan Campbell was a guy that we laughed at on day one. We mocked.
I loved him.
We did not love him. You did not.
That's not true.
We'll go back and get the tape.
I thought he was awesome.
You loved the kneecap biting stuff?
I've played that about 40 times whenever I get a chance.
We were making fun of it.
I thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard.
Well, yeah, we thought it was funny. Ha ha.
I know, but I like that mentality. Funny. We called him Ditka-esque. That's a compliment.
Thought at the time, if you were honest with us and yourself, that was not going to work.
I knew that this was the result.
Did not know that.
I thought that was going to work.
You're ruining my point.
No, I'm being honest. I really like Dan Campbell from day one.
Did you think that he was going to be on a track that made him one of the best coaches in the NFC, if not the NFL?
Well, I'm not even sure he is one of the best coaches.
I think he is right now because
he's a great leader. You know, let me tell you something. He stands up there. He's talking about people, and he looks like he could rip someone's arms off and beat him over the head with them.
That's who he is.
That's what I'm saying. He's also like a big, solid, mean-looking dude. He's hilarious, but he's also he's got his team playing like he looks.
Well, I think that you want to have a head coach, whether it is the identity of a Dan Campbell whose team punishes people and looks like the guy that you don't want to mess with at the bar, or Kevin O'Connell is kind of studying contrast, right?
Yes.
He is the cerebral former quarterback that you're sitting there at Starbucks with his, you know, listening to his music and working the crossword puzzle or Sudoku.
He's your classic, like, handsome quarterback.
Yes.
Who has always been, like, the best-looking guy in the room and has a great...
He's got a very smart team.
And he has a really smart defensive coordinator who's in no danger of leaving because no one will hire him. I think
he's a perfect, it's a perfect combination.
He's got a great thing
but
going.
But my point being is that his team sometimes resembles him.
Yes.
That's a style and identity that is intentional and chosen.
The Vikings are a handsome group.
And I think that what you want in your next head coach is either or, but something that is definitive, something that is intentionally defined, something that is easy to spot.
I got to tell you,
they don't have an identity.
I was watching some of the pregame videos from Marcus Freeman getting Notre Dame guys psyched up for the Army game, right? Mm-hmm. And I was impressed by the way he was talking to his team, because he was kind of I forget the name of the guy who is the defensive guy, but they were telling them, this game is about violence. You've got to, it's the truth about football.
It's a violent game.
It's a very violent game, and you have to have the attitude of seeking and destroying in order to win a football game.
Yes.
I think Dan Campbell preaches the same sort of thing.
And you love it.
And I think the Lions are a dangerous team in part because they reflect on their coach.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you, the problem going up there is that your offensive line hasn't played well on the road all year. You've played better at home, but it's not like you played great at home. But I worry about the ability, and Dave was basically telling us this, that your body has to be healed. This is going to be a very violent, tough game.
Because that's what the Lions
want.
That's
how they want to play.
That's how they do play.
You've got to match that, or you're going to get humiliated on national television.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a miserable experience if they aren't ready for this pounding.
And I don't know that Matt Eberflus is the guy to get that out of.
Well, I don't know that he is, and I think that's the broader point here is that when you are hiring your next head coach, when you're hiring any head coach, you want somebody whose personality is not hard, doesn't leave you guessing or wondering. I wonder what he's going to be like under this situation. I wonder what he's going to be like in that situation. You know from the get-go, somebody who can make a strong first impression is going to be somebody who I think is going to be able to create an identity on your football team. There's no ambiguity with Dan Campbell. There's none with Kevin O'Connell.
I'm watching that Manny Kiss yesterday, okay? And Belichick, they were talking about a fourth down play or something, and he said, well, right here is when you run your best play, when you show your identity, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, man, like, what's the Bears' best play? What is their identity?
I don't know.
I think we haven't.
Who are they?
We haven't been able to answer that all
when year. You're anonymous 11 games into any season, you aren't going to be here long enough to establish an identity.
Okay, run your best play. Punt. I mean, what's their best play?
That's their best play. He's one of their best players. So
help.
Good luck with that.
Help, help, help. All right, we got a little something special.
Oh, yeah.
We got a
talk about an identity.
Yeah.
No ambiguity about Brett Bielema.
No. he has a great identity, and his team is reflecting it, and we'll get a chance to talk to him. They're coming to Chicago. They're going to go to the ballpark, and they're going to play the Cats, and it's going to be fun, and they are already
– Finally!
They're already doing great stuff.
Some contact at Wrigley Field.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
This is for 8 wins. This is into the win. Machowski, 58 yards. And they blow it dead. And he missed it, regardless, but it doesn't count.
Timeout, Rutgers.
Showing blitz, double A gap blitz. They bring the house. Here's the throw. Hit as he throws. It's caught by Bryant. First down. 15, 10, house call. Touchdown. Pat Bryant.
Sports Radio 670, The Score. Wow, what a finish.
Wow.
What a moment. What a great result for the Fighting Illini. And we are delighted to welcome in Coach Brett Bielema. We get a chance to talk to him a few times a year. And, man, we were cheering for you, Coach, watching the finish to that one. What an amazing result. Congratulations, Brett. Brett joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. What do you think, Coach?
Pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was really hard to practice that. You know, it was really a detailed to get that to work out perfectly that way. It was awesome.
So, all right, Coach, you get the timeout from Greg Schiano. The kicker missed the 58-yarder. What is the conversation like on the sidelines while you're waiting what to do next? And when did you decide, okay, you know what, that didn't look so good, we're going to go for it?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, you know, the game is played in 60 minutes of regulation football, but it's these split-second decisions. And to be honest, in pregame warm-ups, we had kind of made a decision where we were going to kick. We were very blessed with a couple of really good kickers, both in the field goal department, but also in the punting department. And we kind of had a number in our head that was going to be, hey, we felt good at the 35, but if we get to the 25, we'd be really good. And then we were at the 35 and got a 5-yard penalty, which made it a 40-yarder, which, you know, really kind of began to creep doubt into my mind. I know we felt good about it, but when they lined up and kicked, and then when we were lined up, I was watching Greg, and I knew he walked towards the official, which meant I knew they were going to call a timeout. And that's kind of what happened when that ball ran short, a lot of wind. And actually, at halftime, full transparency, at halftime, we had the choice of where we wanted to kick. And I chose to kick into the wind in the third quarter because I wanted to have the wind in the fourth quarter for the kicks. And the wind actually flipped literally during the third to fourth quarter transition. And that's the benefit of playing at home, right? Like, we have a windy stadium here at Memorial. I'm sure it's the same thing in the Bears stadium. Like, when you get to know your stadium, you know how the wind plays. And unfortunately, that flipped on us. We were now kicking into the wind that we had planned to kick with the wind as it played out. But long story short, it all worked out. Got the Fighting Illini at 8 wins, and we got a chance to play Northwestern this weekend in Wrigley, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And I got to tell you, you know, we talk to Olin Krutz every week, and he was on yesterday, and he had the Illini football shirt on, and we congratulated him. His boys play for you, and he said that when Pat Bryant got that pass and was running, he was like, get out of bounds. Like, he thought, now you got a field goal. And he said, and I heard him in the post game, Bryant said, well, I saw the end zone. Like, I could get in there. I just think that's hilarious that everybody kind of had the same reaction, which is like, oh my God. And then it became apparent you're going to win the game on that play. What a spectacular play.
You know, Molly, we teach that it's not what happens, it's what it's not what happens, it's what could have happened. So the moment there, we did have a church call, which means that if, you know, we're dealing with a end-of-game scenario and we don't have any timeouts, if they can't get to the end zone or if they can't get out of bounds, they have to go down, right? And the reason Pat did that juke up the field 2 steps is to get leverage on that corner to get around. And I think his intention was to get to out of bounds, right? But then he saw once he got in leverage that corner, he had a chance for the end zone. So a really good adjustment. There were so many. Hank Beatty had a play earlier where we had a touchdown where we actually got pressure on our quarterback. Our quarterback scrambled to the right, and they went to what is called scramble drill. And he ran and broke to the sideline and gave us a touchdown. Again, it was a split-second decision that you trust your players. You've been through it. You've taught it. You've coached it. It's not what happened. It's what could have happened. And that was a really good teachable moment for all of us, I think. Olin and Wendy Krutz, they should be smiling every day. Their boys are incredibly gifted football players, but they're incredibly gifted football intelligence and IQ, and a really good example of what we're all about.
You've had a great year, Coach, and I think it's a credit to the way you've run your program and the guys you have rise to the occasions. You mentioned a couple of them. I also think that, boy, how good is Pat Bryant? I mean, you look at 50 catches, 914 yards, 9 touchdowns. I think he's got to be considered among the best receivers in the country, especially after a play like that.
You know, David, I agree 100%. You've been around it. You understand the game. It doesn't happen by chance, though. You know, I would say that, you know, so a normal – now, this week we don't have classes, so we push back our morning meetings a little bit. But normally we're in the building. We have mandatory weigh-in check-in by 6:30. We start breakfast at 6, and we have our first team meeting at 7 a.m. Every day, Pat Bryan is in our building at 5:15 to 5:30 a.m. every day. He's the first one in the building. He watches a certain number of clips. Coach Stepp, our wide receiver coach, has an edit made for him. He catches 50 balls off the jugs machine before and after every practice. He literally decides every day what he's going to work on post-practice, and a lot of times he brings a buddy, right? Like we always say as coaches, you know, seniors always graduate, but tradition never does. And he has passed on the generational information because he'd be the first to tell you he learned more from Isaiah Williams and the players that came before him that taught him what he needs to do than anybody else. And I think as a head coach, that's really fun to watch.
You know, Luke Altmyer, too. I mean, that was a hell of a play at the end of the game. You guys are, you know, you're there every week. You're making it happen. I was reading that this, you have a chance, if you beat Northwestern, to win 5 games as a rated team. I think you're up to 22 now. It's pretty extraordinary. That hasn't been done at Illinois since 1990. So you're having a great year, and you're doing things that haven't been done there in a very long time, Coach.
Well, I appreciate that, Molly, but I would tell you, you know, it's a week of Thanksgiving, so we got a lot to be thankful for, right? And, you know, I showed our players yesterday 2 clips of 2 of our players. We have a guy named Alex Kapka-Jones who came off the bench on the 14th play yesterday on Saturday and had a 15-yard hitch route. It was a 3-yard completion. It turned into a 15-yard gain. We had a guy by the name of Zy Chrysler who this year as a senior had projected to be our starting right guard. He's involved in a pretty tight competition with another player, Brandon Henderson, who's from East St. Louis, who's a really good player. So as a senior, he's been splitting time. Both those guys have all the reasons to be negative or to be down, and all they do is come to work every day, do what they're supposed to do, put themselves in a position to do their job, and go out and do what's best for the team. And on Saturday, they played 45 snaps and 46 snaps respectively. And if those two guys don't do their job, Illinois doesn't win. Now, they've never been written about. They've never gotten interviewed. But I know as a head coach what they did to make that thing happen. And I wanted to share that with it because as a head coach, I'm so thankful for to be around these coaches, these players, to put ourselves in position. And hopefully Saturday, we're going to be right there in Wrigley. So anybody in Chicago that wants to go watch a little Illinois football, you ain't got far to go, man. Love to have you there and have you be a part of the experience.
So, Coach, we know you have sang the 7th-inning stretch at Wrigley Field, and I'm sure you probably hope this goes better than that. But what are some of the unique challenges of playing this game at that venue, or do you just take the approach, it doesn't matter where we play, you've got to have the intensity, you've got to have the focus, and you've got to be ready for a Northwestern team that would make its season by knocking you off?
You know, David, great point. So, you know, one of the things we talk about, you know, before I came to Illinois, I spent 3 years in the league in the NFL. And I remember specifically being with Coach Belichick. We went to Soldier Field and we were playing a 1 o'clock game. And I remember Bill showing clips of the kickoff return game in the punt game because it was a 1 o'clock game and how the sun was going to be a factor in Soldier Field, right? And I remember the detail that went into that. So this morning I literally showed, hey, you know, in Wrigley the whole field is going to be grass, but I did show them the lay of the land. We're playing in a baseball stadium. We'll go there on Friday, get a chance to walk through it. You know, last year when they played Iowa, they actually were on the same sideline, Northwestern and Iowa, and the Big Ten switched that around, so at least we're on different sidelines. But you can't be oblivious to the fact we're playing in a baseball stadium. Grass field, which is obviously only one of 2 games that we're playing this year on grass. The locker room is a little bit different. We actually have a 23-minute halftime. Normally it's 20, but the Big Ten came in and knew that there's a little bit of travel involved for people to and from their locker room, so we got to shorten to it, or got to lengthen to a 23-minute halftime. So all those little details, like, listen, you know, we won the game at Rutgers, I think, because of situational football. We were prepared for the moment. We executed we had a 4th and 13. It sounds overly biblical, but we were stuttering Philippians 4:13 on Friday, and little did we know it was going to be a 4th and 13. We completed the pass to number 13, and there was 4 seconds left in the game. So
that's great.
Even the man above came in for that game, right? So like it's just
ILL.
It's a lot of fun to be a part of it, but our guys are prepared for the moment, which I think makes a big difference.
Wow.
Well, hey, listen, it's great to catch up with you. You're having a phenomenal year. We were talking about it. We're now like kind of locked into watching this college football playoff selection. I can't believe what a wild weekend it was and some of the results. And the way you guys turned it around and had that finish was probably as much fun as anything
great.
I saw.
It's fascinating tonight, Coach, because the Big Ten has had a really strong year that will be reflected in these standings, and you guys have been a big part of that as well.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, all I hope for is last week 7 ranked teams fell, and I hope that 7 more fall again. I hope it ain't one of us, but I would tell you that it's a really fun time. I think the whole expansion to 12 teams just brings in the whole, you know, the whole conference, the whole world of college football. Gives us a chance. I know Illinois fans are excited, and we got one more guaranteed opportunity. And whenever that bowl game or wherever it is, hopefully a lot of people are going to join us and follow us. And it's really fun for us to have all those Chicago area players. We have about 15-20 guys that call Chicago home, and to have them have this opportunity at the end of the year is pretty awesome. And to be quite honest, Northwestern got a great respect for Coach Braun and what he's done and who he is. He's got a lot of Chicago area players. It should be a really, really good environment and a lot of fun for college football.
And I'm sure a lot of them will get a kick out of playing in Wrigley, although I hope there's some Sox fans there too, speaking as a Southsider. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you, gentlemen. ILL.
INI. How about that?
How about that?
Brett Bielema. I mean,
a remarkable win. A remarkable year.
David, I mean, I was, watching some of the stuff that we watch, and I got a call, you got to get on Illinois, and I watched the end of that game, and I mean, you think about it, like, Greg Schiano did exactly what you're supposed to do, and he frees the guy.
What you typically do, you freeze the guy.
And he doesn't. Yeah. And then they come back with the touchdown. It was one of those things where you're just
uncanny.
Floored.
It feels like it's one of those seasons for Illinois. They've got a chance to win Saturday, their 9th victory of the season. Takes me back to preseason when Brett Bielema was here in studio.
Yes.
And we're talking about, you know what? This is a big year for you.
Yes.
And he didn't disagree. And they certainly rose to the occasion. And they responded. And it's been great to watch. And certainly Saturday will be a lot of fun at Wrigley Field. And you can have a lot of fun tonight. Yes, tonight. Actually, I'm sorry. Next Tuesday, December 3rd. If you keep listening, if you're the 6th caller at 312-540-0670, you can win a pair of tickets to Football After Dark at Gale Street Inn next Tuesday, December 3rd, hosted by Layla Rahimi with special guest DJ Moore, all sponsored by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com and by AARP. The younger you are, the more you need AARP.
Yeah, and we should let you know this Saturday, if you want to get out to the game, if you want to hang around the area, this Saturday, stop by, say hello to the great Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez. They're going to be at Rally House Wrigleyville from 8 to 11 a.m. before the Illini take on the Wildcats, Northwestern, across the street at Wrigley Field. Mark and Gabe will be broadcasting live from Rally House, where you can enter to win a $25 gift card from tees to hoodies and jackets to game day flair. There's something for everyone at Rally House. It's Mully and Haw. We'll talk to, I believe, Dan. I saw Layla. Is Marshall here too? No, it's Dan and Layla. And we'll think about Marshall. So he's here in spirit. Mully and Haw on the score.